worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
I love my quaff. Leave my quaff alone.
Ian Hunter.
That seems like more work than I'm willing to put in.
Mickey.
Styrofoam, purple, luca, whatever it's called.
And Lazy E.
When Proofreader sleeps over, I know I'm living in sin.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
It's the best thing you'll find on the internet if you exclude everything else. It's a freak accident. Welcome to our podcast. My name is Crisco, and I am joined by Mickey.
How come I get named first? What's going on
because
here?
Because I'm mixing things up. We're 30 episodes in, and I got to keep things interesting.
Well, now I'm confused.
Good. Good. I got her on her heels, and now that's going to go throughout the entire show. Coming at you, Mickey.
Ian, help.
Mickey. Ian Hunter is also here.
Mickey's confused. Well, that's a show record.
Yes. And Lazy E, my partner, my brother from another mother, the apple of my eye.
Nanu, nanu.
So how are we all doing today? Are we all happy to be here? Excited?
It's finally not so hot in NEPA. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, yes. We are not dying, so that is a good sign. Our website is afreakaccident.com. Send us an email, freaks@afreakaccident.com. Would love to hear from you. Send us an email about any old thing. Let us know what you like about the show. Or, as we established last week, send us your problems, and yo, we'll solve them.
That's what we do.
Because we give great advice on the show. Don't shake your head no, Mickey. We give great advice on the show.
Such a bad idea.
You're still giving cocaine advice, right? You're still doing that?
That's the plan, anyway. So I mentioned the website. While you're there, feel free to click connect on the menu bar. We've got links to all of our pages, handles, usernames, whatever on social media, so you can interact with us throughout the week. When you're not listening to the show, you can still keep up with us because we like to say the show continues on social media all week long. So follow us on all our social media things. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. New episodes will be automatically delivered to you if you do that. And leave us a good review. Every good review helps us climb a little bit higher in those rankings. And every little bit more we get, the little bit more we can give back to you. So help us out there. Or if you're an Android user, you can subscribe on Google Play Music. And also, anywhere podcasts are downloaded. And Lazy E and I, you know, we're still kind of at the top of this episode. We're still kind of riding high off of our experience from last weekend.
It was, I've never experienced something like this before in all my years of radio.
Yes.
We were at a concert up at the Pavilion at Montage up in this area. It was our radio station's show. It was Disturbed and this band you're hearing right now, Breaking Benjamin.
Which is, Breaking Ben is from our town here.
So they're
Wilkes-Barre, that's where they originated.
That they're just as big as Breaking, as Disturbed.
Oh, sure.
In some people's eyes. And it, by what we heard, a lot of people in that crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you're talking, they sold out that venue. The only band that has ever done that before has been Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews
and
Tom,
Peach Festival.
Tom Petty.
Oh, Tom Petty did.
And
too,
Luke Bryan.
But you're talking,
I mean, very handful.
That's a rock act has never sold out that venue. It's a huge venue. They sold it out. That is insane that they were able to pull that off.
You said 15,000 people
more
and change?
Plus. It was I think it was upwards toward 20,000 by the time the show actually kicked off.
Crazy.
Because, like, gate sales, there were a lot of people buying tickets day of and things like that. So it was nuts. I mean, I've never seen a crowd that big up there before. And we attribute it to the fact that it was St. Asonia, Alter Bridge, Breaking Ben, and Disturbed. Any one of those bands can headline their own tour, and they were all on the same tour together. So it's kind of like that's a big show.
But what made it different than any other show I've ever done, like I said, in the decade plus that I've been in radio, was when myself and Crisco got to go up and announce Breaking Ben.
Yeah, we got to announce on stage in front of close to 20,000 people.
I've never talked in front of that many people. I don't know if Mickey or Ian, have you ever heard this? A wrestler will say no matter how tired they are, but once they hear that crowd, that adrenaline hits. When we went up there, and heard that crowd, I felt like I took like 15 of those 5-hour energies because I'm ready to go at that.
I am made of lightning.
It was weird though because we were given the orders. Usually, when they have us announced, especially up at Montage, a pavilion type setting, they have us intro it like 10 minutes before they go on. Like they're coming up soon.
To put it into perspective, this is like an amphitheater kind of venue. Yeah.
So they usually say 10 minutes before you go up and say they're coming soon. No, they said you have 30 seconds because at that 30-second mark, they're coming out no matter what.
Yeah, they're coming out next. We were doing a cold intro into the band.
To put it into perspective, we were, when we ran off the stage, because that's what we were told to do, run. We ran as the bassist was coming on playing.
Well, and they told us there is pyro. Oh, so yeah, the funniest thing is somebody was back there. One of our associates was taking video footage of us on like walking out onto the stage. And you see us all running back. And Lazy E is like ducking as he's running because like I think he's expecting fireballs to start flying over his head.
And listen, I saw what happened to MJ back in the day. I'm not becoming that.
Or
no way.
James Hetfield, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he burned himself real bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not me. Not that day.
Not that day. But, man, what a great experience. All those people. I mean, I've never gotten stage fright ever in my life. And I've talked in front of all sorts of different sized crowds. And it was kind of like, I was sort of curious backstage. I'm like, I wonder if this will do it. Like, I get out there, I see that mass of humanity, and I'm just like, well, crapped my pants.
But
you could go out and say, I just crapped my pants, and the place would have gone berserk.
They probably would have done that. But that it's interesting because when you're out there, we were talking to somebody the other day, Lazy and I were, that you can really only notice the first 50 or so rows. After that, it's just
a sea of people.
Yeah, it's just a sea. And when you can't see all of the eyes, it sort of doesn't make that much of a difference.
Oh, not at all.
But I mean, what? And then the thing is, they were so loud.
Oh my
like,
God.
The cheers hit you. It was like, oh, you can actually feel like the vibration through the air.
I now get why those inner earpieces for bands, because once we said our initial lines, I didn't know what I was saying. Like, I was speaking into the mic, but I didn't hear what I was saying.
You can't even hear your own voice in your head, nor can you hear the voice being projected out into the crowd. No. It's just, you're practically deaf up there.
I watched the station video, and I was amazed at how the audio and the phone was going off whenever the crowd started screaming. So I can just imagine what your ears were doing.
Yeah. Oh,
it was, and he was all the way backstage while he was videoing that, mind you. He wasn't on stage, so we're getting it amplified. Oh,
wow. Plus, Lazy E and I got to display our love in front of all of those people.
We did.
No wonder they were screaming so loud.
In fear, but I mean, hey.
And we also got the chance to meet, though, person, longtime listener of A Freak Accident, longtime listener of Lazy E, and myself, both in radio and in podcasting, James Z, who he's always a presence on social media and things like that, and also his much better half.
Oh, way. No, you don't understand. This guy's a mud hole. He should thank God.
We love you,
God.
Though, dude.
No, he should thank God. Thank God he found that and locked that down quick because...
But we're calling her Jesse's girl.
Yes.
And we finally figured out a nickname for him years after I found out he works at a place. It's a bar and restaurant called the Tipsy Turtle. His last name is Z, so his name is going to be Tipsy.
Perfect.
Tipsy.
Yeah, Tipsy and Jesse's girl. So got the chance to meet them in person. That was cool. Hang out with them for a little bit. It's always interesting meeting people who are like, you know, we listened to you here and there. It's always cool meeting our audience, as it were. So that's why when I say send us an email, let us get to know you a little bit, I mean that genuinely. We like getting to know and meeting the people that enjoy this program.
Going off of that, just like 2 weeks ago, I met another mud hole, longtime listener, Chicken Legs.
Oh, you did meet him, didn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mickey, your eyes.
What?
She didn't make an eye at all, Chicken Legs. He was Chicken Legs. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, maybe.
Hey, you seem genuinely horrified by just speaking that person's name.
Yep.
Now, we come off of that amazing story, that high, to something a little bit more somber. We were kind of alluding to this a couple weeks ago because we didn't really know which direction it was going to go up until a couple days ago, honestly.
Yeah.
But we found out, Ian, you can go ahead and break the news because this is your show.
Well, this is going to be my last week on the podcast because I have taken a new job in Bloomington, Illinois as a morning show co-host out there.
So you're leaving my show?
I'm leaving.
Jerk face.
Woo! It's finally happened! Thank God! Yeah,
I'm just
kidding. We've been hoping for this for days. Oh my God!
No, but so you're moving to Bloomington, Illinois?
Yeah, and it's a quick turnaround. I mean, I start at the end of the month, so my wife and I are packing up our apartment in just a handful of days, and then getting in our cars and heading west.
And what is the position?
It's a morning show for their country station they have in Bloomington.
Yeehaw!
So you're gonna be doing co-host and producer, I assume. As
yeah,
well?
So it's morning show. It means co-host, it's producing. Plus, the hope is I'll get to do some sports too. So I'll be a busy guy. But yeah, back to morning radio for me.
All right.
Right. You know, once you're on there, we'll make sure to link up where they could listen to you fail and more broad.
That's usually what we do anyway. Right?
How do you point. Like the fact that he beat us to our dream, you D-bag? Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't a bit angry, not at you necessarily, them for taking my Ian Hunter from a freak accident. You belong to us. This is our show, and they're taking you away from us.
One little note to that morning show. You make sure to send them the link to this episode. If you lay a hand on him, if you touch our little Ian, I will march down to Illinois. Well, maybe take a ride.
I'll say that's a long march.
I will smack you so hard. Wait, hang on a second. Is it a girl host?
It is.
I will give you strong words and not physically abuse you. You fine person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you take it easy on him.
Yeah. Don't you dare.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always gonna be a part of this show in heart and soul.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, we will miss you, man. You've been a huge, huge help. You've been great to have around. You've been great on the show. I hate to see you go. That's what I mean. I'm kind of angry. I am angry because you're taking him away from us, and I don't like it.
Yeah, you new morning show.
Listen, what station is it? You can give the call letters,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's WBWN.
Okay, WBWN, you listen. My vengeance will come. It won't be today. It won't be tomorrow, but it will come.
At least we know the door won't hit him on the way out.
It might.
Well, who would have thought? Opportunity knocked, and he was able to open it.
Listen, I do not advocate violence, WBWN, but never say never. That's all I'm going to say.
What's the morning show host name?
Faith is the other
Faith.
Part.
You better hope you have faith.
I got a question.
You better.
Please tell me that you're going to be Ian Harding on the air.
I thought it genuinely. I thought about it for a second. I'm like, nah, screw
it's
it.
It's a little inside joke, but you know you're gonna have to change your sports teams. The sports teams that you like.
Yeah, screw those Steelers. Go to the Bears.
Hold up, the Chris Farley. Nice.
Yeah.
There's no basketball teams around here, so I can like the Bulls. That's cool.
Well, I mean, there are. Close, relatively.
How far is it from Chicago? It's like
about two hours.
Right?
Yeah. So right now, from where we'll be living, is 2 hours from St. Louis, 2 hours from Chicago, and 2 hours or 2.5 hours, relatively, to Indianapolis. So it's right smack in the middle of all things.
Kind of like here. We're right between New York and Philly and Pittsburgh. And
fun story, though. So the guy who played Jake from State Farm in those State Farm commercials, he lives in Bloomington. They have his khakis hanging above the bar in town.
How sad is that area that that's their prize?
Oh, I'm moving there. They wait.
They have a statue of Jake from State Farm in their town
It's
square.
Right beside Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, right. But anyway, Ian, since this is going to be your last episode with a freak accident, with that in mind, we wanted to say thank you with a little bit of a tribute to the enigma that is Ian Hunter.
I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your love pass you by.
I had an awesome realization when it came to doors very recently.
That's right. Our baby Ian's going.
I like your line from before, that opportunity knocked, and he was able to answer.
You put that on my Facebook, and I cracked up.
When I put it on his Facebook, I had to put a preface in. I was like, anybody who doesn't know the podcast that we do, listen before you get angry at what I just said.
Well, I laughed. I knew exactly what you were saying. Thankfully, well, not to right now. No one's asked, like, why did that jerk say that?
Well, they're coming. Oh, they're, yeah. They're coming.
My phone's off right now. I'm sure it's coming.
Mickey, say something nice about Ian since he's leaving the show.
Oh, wow.
No.
Ouch. You don't even get a parting nice
moment.
Yeah,
I would think she would at least give you like a condescending pat on the shoulder and say, oh, you're good, you.
No, Mickey. No, you have to right now say something nice about Ian.
Good luck, Ian.
That'll
That's
work.
That's not something nice.
That is. She wished him good luck. That's
not something nice about him.
No.
Just one
yeah,
thing.
You're pushing it.
Just one thing.
Nope. Not happening.
Can it be a double negative good thing? Something.
You're not always the worst. Like, something like that would be okay.
What? Why? No.
Just say it. Just say it right now.
I got nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You really hate him.
Yep.
Oh. Ooh.
Wow, you got a little colder in here.
You've got great skin.
Really? How'd you know?
You keep doors nice and fresh.
Seriously, though, man, we are going to miss you, yeah. And best of luck to you.
Thank you guys so much.
When you fail, we will be here waiting for you to come back.
Yeah.
All right, on the show today, we're going to go right back from somber because we still got you for this episode.
I'll be here.
You're still here for this one. All right, we've got the Rio Olympics. Not looking like it's going to be a great time. No, we got things Americans do overseas that can get you arrested that may not be that abnormal in America.
Ooh.
Yeah, so... Don't
crazy.
Yeah, don't keep yourself when you go overseas.
Don't be American outside of America.
Right, yeah. Figure out the fall premieres is coming back.
Yes!
You need to understand, this is a game show we've done for years. People who've been following our broadcasting careers and our different projects are familiar with this. This is epic. We're bringing it back. First installment of it this year, the ABC edition.
You're going to love it.
It's going to rock the house. Ian's first and last figure out the fall premieres.
Yeah.
So, we also have the most expensive homes for sale in the U.S. right now. A little list to make you feel completely inadequate in your successes.
Great.
And we're going to end with a movie segment. All that and much, much more, as always, on the way in this episode of A Freak Accident.
Check out our podcast archive, where you can hear every episode we've ever recorded, including all the old ones. Or if you're an Alzheimer's patient, all the new ones.
You remember, right?
Yes.
Podcast.afreakaccident.com.
We're standing up on podiums right now.
We've won the tinfoil medal for podcasting.
Crisco, he's got the gold. Lazy Eat got the silver. Mickey, the bronze.
No, I'm playing the triangle.
She's playing
so
the
triangle. So by default...
Ian, he's watching.
Ian got the particle board medal.
Nice.
He got arrested for enhancements.
You know what? This is in Rio, so I think we've got something a little bit better in terms of music.
Her name is Rio.
I understand this is about America, but why didn't they use this?
I have no idea. Just replace the Olympic theme.
It would have been better than the actual Olympics are going to be.
Yeah. That is not even an exaggeration. The Olympics are already an unmitigated disaster. The 2016 Rio Games, because of, well, the condition of the city in which these games are going to be held. Rio is just falling to pieces all over the place.
And... it even started back in the beginning of the year when Brazil came. Right, oh, no, Rio. Is that in
Brazil?
In Brazil.
Rio de Janeiro.
Okay. Brazil came out and said they haven't even come close to selling half the tickets. That was back in, like, January. That is, you're thinking right there, financial disaster, but it's worse.
It seems like they're also, of course, rushing to get things finished. Why is it that every single Olympic Games, it seems, with the exception of China, and we know that was because of child labor, why are they always rushing to get things finished, to put the finishing touches on the facilities, on the tracks, the fields, the pools, and everything else? Why is it never done on time?
Most of the rooms the athletes are staying in
don't have beds or shower curtains yet.
We're going to get to that. But this is what I'm saying. Why? You have 8 years to prepare for this. That seems like more than enough time.
That's a lot of money to put into something that's only going on for, you know, a couple weeks.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, plus, that's the other thing, too. A lot of people don't realize the Olympics pretty much bankrupt every single city and or country in which they take place.
Yeah, I think there was only, like, one that it didn't. Like,
well, and even in that case, I think you're talking about Atlanta?
Might be.
I don't know.
I feel like there's a conspiracy that I need to get in on that I don't know about yet.
Well, you got to figure, even in the places where the city hasn't been completely destroyed economically, there's still, you take on so much debt. And on top of that, you really kill your property values because you sacrifice so much real estate to these massive stadiums and facilities where people live and medical facilities and all this other nonsense. And you do that, and then after the Olympics are over, those things never get used again.
I don't know why they don't. Why can't they find a use for those things?
I don't know. And that's the thing. I saw a thing on the news the other day saying that the swimming sections of the Athens facilities, which were in Greece, that was back in 2004. It's now like a marshland, and frogs are pretty much all that lives there. The facilities are completely falling apart. Like, there's nothing left. The thing in Beijing.
The bird's nest.
Yeah, the bird's nest. They now it's completely abandoned, except they take tourists on Segway rides around the track on the inside.
Yeah.
And I think in, I don't know if it was Beijing or one of them, but the place where they row, like the rowing things that they mm-hmm. put in, are like completely dry, just bone dry and gone out of use.
But Rio's already having problems way before this. Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
This is before the Olympics are over. It's a disaster
to
begin with.
They're already ridiculously in debt. They're coming. Of course, they were in a recession when they got the games.
Smart.
Now they're in a huge depression. Not only is there rampant crime, and, you know, basically we've discovered apparently ISIS is there.
Oh, good. This
which
is sounding
yeah,
great.
Yeah, great news off the bat. The big thing is the water. And the pollution in Rio is apparently terrible. It's catastrophically bad to the point where they said that the one statistic I saw, and let me pull this up here so I get it right. The Associated Press last year recorded disease-causing viruses. This is coming from the New York Times. Disease-causing viruses in some water tests that were 1.7 million times worse than a level that would be considered too toxic for a United States beach.
Oh. That counts Jersey, too, right?
Yes. Yes, it does count Jersey.
Wow.
Ooh. They said specifically Southern California, but it's like a standard countrywide.
Oh, my God.
So you're saying 2 million times more toxic than what would be considered too toxic for a beach to be open in the United States. And the athletes have to swim through that.
Gross.
Enjoy the triathlon. Keep your mouth closed. They said something like just 3 teaspoons of water and you basically have whatever the equivalent of AIDS plus gonorrhea plus whatever other viruses, some super bug is going to get inside you and you'll be dead in hours.
That's another thing. The Zika virus is huge.
Yep. And they have absolutely... You think Miami's bad right now with the Zika. They have no control over it whatsoever in Rio.
Still copywriting that as my new rap name. Zika virus. That's a BA name.
I agree with
one
you.
One of these days, one of these albums is actually going to happen.
They're all going to happen at once. Too Much Men, Zika Virus.
Kav's going to come back and do a rock album. It's going to be great.
Speaking of that, open auditions for Too Much Men are open since Mr. Ian is being taken away, baby Ian.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is the water. They said that, oh, yeah, we're gonna make sure that we reduce the pollution. They said this 8 years ago because I guess there was concerns then. Like, oh, yeah, we're totally going to do water treatments. We're going to get rid of all this. It's going to be super clean. They didn't do it at all. They didn't even
we
get...
forgot something. What did we forget? Oh, no!
Let's see. The poisonous, literal raw sewage that is the water of this bay where the athletes are going to be performing.
All they did was send some guy on the water with one of those little fish nets trying to pick up all the crap.
hurry, hurry, I'm trying, I'm trying.
Yeah, the guy skimming, yes. They're skimming the water, yeah. And that guy probably died an hour or two into his efforts, and they just never bothered to check on what happened to him. So they just assumed he finished his work, and then it turns out, oh, he died, because it's incredibly toxic out there.
Do you got any bucket? Do you got a bucket of that pool, pro? Yeah, I'll go get it.
I feel bad. I know one of the local news anchors from our area was sent down there, and I can't remember which station it was. They both come into the cafe that I work at, and the whole time, you know, my boss has been going, oh, this is great, you know, that you're going to Rio and everything, and we're looking at each other going, nope. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not good at all. This is very, very bad for me. I could very likely die.
It's always been a dream of mine to go to the Olympic Games.
Not these ones.
Not these ones, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad the U.S. basketball teams are staying on a yacht.
Yeah. Yeah, they bought a boat. They brought a private cruise ship that they're staying on instead of staying in the Olympic Village. Because that was the other thing. Ian alluded to that before. The Olympic Village is not finished. Athletes came in. They're finding, apparently, the beds are extremely tiny where they exist at all. Aww. There's pictures that surfaced of certain teams, Australian teams, hanging shower curtains in a way that they don't flood the facility that they're staying in. The China team had to hang their own shower curtain because it wasn't even hung up yet. And then even worse than that are some of the facilities for the press, because I think they allow the press to stay in Olympic Village as well. You're talking, there's fixtures that are just entirely missing, like sinks just aren't there. There's just exposed plumbing, exposed wiring, beds are falling apart, like the joints aren't screwed in right, and they're just falling to pieces.
You know, the people in China, I feel really bad. They're the ones I feel the worst about, because they leave China and they're like, a vacation from a place that has terrible labor laws. And here they are putting up their own curtains,
yeah.
Probably wiring their own toilets and all this.
Some rooms
wiring toilets. What the hell do you have to do?
I'm not a construction
Is that what
worker.
You have to do in your house?
Well, yeah,
it's for
me.
The bidet.
Yeah, maybe they have a bidet. Yes,
shower curtains are missing. I mean, you're talking... Oh, and no running water either. And where the water is running, it's not hot. So guess what? Guess what?
The rotter.
The what?
You said the rotter. The rotter is
water.
Wanting.
Wait, I merged the two words together in my mind.
What, raw sewage and water?
Yeah. Raw sewage. But anyway, there's no running water, and where it is running... It's not hot. So, hey, after you've taken a nice dip in that bay and you're just covered in disease, you come in, you want to take a nice shower. Oops, can't. There's no water!
This is like a worse Gilligan's Island.
This is like the worst case scenario for these athletes.
If I were the U.S. basketball teams, I'd be charging people to come on the boat. Yeah. If I make a killing, I'd retire.
Yeah.
If I was an athlete, I wouldn't go. I'd say, nope, hard pass. I'm not going to die because I want a little piece of metal.
You heard about the Russian track team being barred from the Olympics, right?
Well, yeah, because they cheat.
Yeah, well, exactly. But those people were really upset whenever they heard they couldn't go. Until now. They're like, maybe it was not such a bad thing.
All that steroid abuse probably was a good idea in retrospect.
Well, for now.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah. Mm.
Still, honestly, I'm not looking forward to this.
No.
Somebody is going to die. That's probably going to happen.
They always make the joke, you know, it's going to be a tire fire. This literally might be a tire fire.
Can we stop giving the games to third world countries?
Yeah.
It's like every news story ends with that shot of, you know, the Jesus statue on top of the mountain in Rio. At this point, it's like he's shrugging. Like, it's not my fault. You can't blame me for this mess.
I told you. We're good.
He's not doing the cross symbol. He's shrugging. Like, don't blame me.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with this catastrophe. Stop giving the games to third world countries. Seriously, that may sound mean, don't care. I don't want our athletes to die, or anyone to die, because they have to swim through, like, crust.
For every Olympics move, like, here on out, just put the Summer Games in Southern California and the Winter Games in the Rockies. Done.
Still, I think we can all agree.
USA! USA! USA!
The early bird catches the worm. But the early worm gets ruthlessly devoured by a gigantic superior predator. Maybe we'll just sleep in today. This is a freak accident.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Yeah.
Filmed in Los Angeles.
The men and women of law enforcement. Something, something, something. I don't know the words.
Yeah, no, I don't know the ending totally.
This is some things that you will do in other countries that will get you arrested that you could definitely do in America without a problem at all.
So things we typically do that here.
Either banned or illegal in other countries.
All right.
You would not believe some of the things on this list.
It scares me to go overseas, so let's go for it.
From BroBible.com. Wait, you're afraid to travel overseas?
Well, knowing that it's this easy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, for instance, chewing gum. Illegal.
I'm okay with that. Areas.
Why? Do you not chew gum?
Yeah, no.
You don't chew
don't
gum.
Like
you don't watch TV. You don't go to movies. What the hell?
Wait, you don't like people who chew gum either?
Yeah, you've ever talked to a person that like chews gum and tries to talk to you? Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mickey. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to like remove it from their mouth and stick to their forehead. It'd be great.
Have you ever done that?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, come
on. I want you to do that to somebody and we'll film you like from the bushes and then it'll go viral.
They'll just see our eyes.
Just go walk around town. And just pull gum out of people's mouths and stick it to them.
Oh, well, we're going to have to find another seat to fill after that.
Don't say a word. Just do it. And then, but yeah, apparently it is illegal. Singapore is famous for banning gum because apparently they decided that people sticking used gum underneath desks and chairs was bad enough that it had become a national health crisis worthy of criminalization. Oh,
so the same country that has legalized prostitution everywhere
chewing
says
gum.
No to gum.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I know, weird places to draw lines,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. That seems like you guys are focusing in the wrong areas, I think. Number 7, play video games.
Oh, I'd be done. Yeah. Where is this at?
Of course, like you would think, like, you know, some third world countries and things like that. But actually, one of the most restrictive places on Earth with video games is Australia.
Are you kidding me?
Australia, yeah. They've banned many video games over the years for everything from sex to drug use to violence, the most recent being Saints Row 4.
I don't know. I guess I always thought, besides obviously Crocodile Dundee trying to make it seem like they don't know anything, I always thought they're a little more progressive than that.
You would think.
I've been to Australia. They have uncensored nudity on regular cable. You're telling me they have a problem with video games?
Video game sex and video game violence, apparently.
Wow.
Maybe they are being progressive by not allowing kids to play it.
Don't you do that. Don't you put the blame on the video games. Because then I'll throw it back at the music. I don't want to.
I blame the music, too.
Oh, my God.
You're a musician.
And I don't sing about certain things for a reason.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
don't do certain things for a reason.
Because the soft-headed little children might get the wrong idea.
Unfortunately.
Listen, if your kid is influenced by music, easily influenced by music and video games, they have other psychological issues that are going to push them to do it anyways.
Yeah, like having the world's most garbage parents.
Well,
yeah.
I don't disagree with that either, but yeah. You know.
Using plastic bags is illegal in some countries.
Well, how'd I bring my sandwiches everywhere?
Paper bags.
Grocery bags, specifically.
Oh.
They get cloth bags, the mm-hmm. reusable grocery bags that you can get from stores now, and like in some cases they actually give you a discount if you use them.
That I have in my house and I always forget to bring to the store with me.
Oh, tarnation!
Everybody always
Wait,
does.
So I, as the consumer, would get arrested after going to a Walmart and getting some groceries. Is that
how
that works?
I don't know if necessarily they probably don't have bags unless
right.
you bring your own. Okay. You don't get to use bags.
Well, like, that would
so
be a little bit. That'd be a little bit weird. But like, okay, sir, here's your groceries. Thank you. Walk out. Whirl.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're actively trying to get people arrested.
Hang on,
Ian, spread them.
What country has a cop car that goes
row? One of those European countries, of course. Yeah, Beedo, Beedo, and row. Probably like a South African country maybe has the rarer sound.
Yeah, it imitates a tiger a little bit.
Yeah, down there like in what area is that, like St. Petersburg, right? Isn't that
yeah.
Florida?
Right. Wait.
Wait. Huh?
Is there St. Petersburg, Florida?
I think there is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm confused.
Next thing.
Smoking. Smoking is illegal in some countries. And not like marijuana, just cigarettes.
Like tobacco.
Straight up tobacco. Yeah,
yeah,
is illegal in some countries. Yeah, specifically, I had it here, and then I lost it. Oh, Bhutan.
Where's that?
Bhutan. I don't know. Did you realize how many countries there are out there I've never heard of? Wait till the Olympics start this week.
There's,
when they do the opening ceremonies, it's like, who, what, where? This isn't America or Russia or England. I've never heard of you.
You said Bhutan was where it was at?
Yeah.
It's in the Philippines.
Oh, okay. Shout out to my friend Neil. What up?
Watching pornography Is it illegal?
I've heard of this one.
Yeah, you would think like North Korea, of course. You know, you would think like the Middle East, of course. And I mean, sure, but there are other areas of the world. For instance, I guess England. There have been attempts to restrict the viewing of pornography online, and also interestingly, Iceland.
What else is there to do there?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Well, let's go watch the ice not ever melt because we live in Iceland.
Want to go skating? Yeah, like yesterday? Cool.
They've already banned strip clubs and all forms of porn magazines, and now they're trying to restrict online usage as well.
I'm pretty sure Iceland's the green one and Greenland's the ice one.
Yeah, she's right.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. I'm right.
Hey, listen, I dare you to go to either of those places and tell me that they're not half frozen.
Well, no, I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, there might be some green in Iceland. I don't debate that, but there's definitely a ton of ice, too. I've seen pictures.
Well, no, I'm just happy she's right about something. That was huge.
Using the internet, period. Illegal in some countries.
Wait, where is this? Where can I move to?
Oh, yeah, this is Mickey's, like, safe land.
Mickey's house. It's right here on the list.
Okay.
Yeah. Illegal, yeah. China, North Korea, and parts of the Middle East restricted internet usage.
What do they do if you get out of that band? Like, do they arrest you, or do they... How many years would you get for that?
I don't know. This article doesn't go into that detail. But also Australia, too. I guess Australia restricts certain kinds of internet usage.
Oh, man. I'm never, ever going to those places.
Your cousin lives in Australia.
Not cousin. Girlfriend's niece.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why do I always get that confused?
I don't know.
I always think it's somebody in your family. It's not. It's a proofreader's family.
Yeah, proofreader's family. They never told me.
Ask them questions about this, though. Like, what is legal and what isn't legal in Australia?
I mean, my mom lived in Australia for a couple of years. I'll ask her about this and then get back to you guys.
Because you won't be here anymore.
You have a cell phone. I can call you.
We're not talking to you.
We also have
this.
Ouch!
You're cut off from our lives after you leave the show.
See what you did, WNBN?
Do not Skype us. Unfriend me on Facebook. It's over.
Already did it.
Drinking alcohol, illegal in some places. Of course, the Middle East, again, comes to mind. But also, Iceland, again, coming in, apparently...
What?
Yeah, up until 1989, Iceland made it illegal to sell anything with alcohol content of more than 2.25%.
Iceland, more like Boardland. Like, they're doing things over there.
There's only like 10 people in Iceland. It's okay.
There's only like 300,000 people who live in the whole country or something like that.
I have no idea. Haven't looked into it.
Number one on this list, having premarital sex is illegal in some countries.
Not here.
No, definitely not here. But definitely, in the Middle East, it is definitely highly illegal.
Man,
to do this.
You know, I always thought the Middle East was a more progressive area. Well, apparently I was wrong. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Very sarcastic.
Yeah. Not really surprised by any of the... except for the Singapore thing about the chewing gum. None of that other stuff surprises me.
Really? Australia banning parts of the internet?
Oh, okay.
Iceland banning internet pornography?
That's not surprising. There's like 300,000 people. All there is ice and a volcano there.
That continues to erupt to this day.
Yeah, they're not concerned about their internet porn. They're just concerned about the stinking volcano.
How do we turn off the volcano? Turn it off, please!
Somebody's sitting on the switch. Just please stand up and flip it to off. Thank you.
I think that's how it works.
I imagine it must.
Like ICP says, it's like magnets. Ah! Miracles.
Yeah, nothing else makes sense.
Second ICP reference.
Stop it. Stop.
Why would anything else matter?
How many shows?
Up next, we finally bring it back. Figure out the fall premieres. It's here on A Freak Accident. Buckle up.
Love us, hate us. You can still like us on Facebook.
Gee whiz. That sounds like so much fun.
Facebook.com/A Freak Accident Podcast.
It's time again for America's favorite game show. Figure out the fall premieres. And here's your host, Lazy Nick E.
It's been a long year off, but here we are again. Figure out the fall premieres, everybody's favorite show.
This is the favorite, too. This is even bigger than Yes or BS.
Nope. Not your turn yet.
Who gave you another show?
Who said you still need to be here? Don't you have to move to some, like, Saskatchewan or something like that? All right. It's a really easy game to play. I'm going to give you the title of a new show debuting on ABC, and you have to guess what the show's about just by the title. It's that simple. Or is it? We'll find out. But first, let's introduce our contestants.
All right.
We've got the wonderful Ian Harding. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the paper. Wrong. We got Ian Hunter, who gave me the best news ever. He finally won't be a contestant on this show anymore.
That's what you think.
No, no, you're gone.
Just wait till we replace him with somebody worse.
Just wait until you stop talking. That's what I'm going to do.
Go ahead. We'll be here a long time.
She puts brains before beauty, but that's not saying much. How you doing, Mickey?
I'll give it to you. That was good.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what you call improv, people. And finally, there's three things in life that are guaranteed for this guy. They're death, taxes, and pec flexes. That is the one and only Crisco.
Yeah, my pecs are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Could do better.
You like them.
Well, I do. Doesn't mean they're great.
Listen, that's all that counts.
That's all that counts.
In my life, yep.
So you guys know how to play the game, but do you want to know what you could win today?
Absolutely.
Let's hear it from our wonderful Brent Roddy.
The Donald Trump See and Say. That's right. You can teach your kid how to speak like our potential next president does. Your kid just pulls the string and learns phrases such as...
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
And...
They said, what do you think about waterboarding? I said, I like it a lot.
And who can forget this?
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.
That can be yours if you can figure out the fall premieres.
Doesn't that sound like a great prize for the kids? None of you have kids.
We're all going to die in nuclear fire.
Yes, yes, yes. So we flipped the coin in the back, and Donald Trump took that coin. So we're just going to have to go random here. You know what, Ian, since you're leaving, you're going to go first. You never played the game? This should be great.
Let's do it.
Trial by fire.
The first new show on ABC is Speechless. Can you figure out that fall premiere?
I know exactly what it is. It is the story of Lazy McGee's love life.
Not cool, man. Not cool. Mickey!
This has to do with the crowds around Donald Trump every time he has something to say and they have nothing.
Interesting. Crisco!
It's about Mickey's adventures on a freak accident.
You know what? Ian was the closest. He was the closest.
All right.
It is about Maya. A mom on a mission who will do anything for her husband, Jimmy, and her kids, Ray, Dylan, and JJ, her eldest son with cerebral palsy. As Maya fights injustices, both real and imagined, the family works to make a new home for themselves and searches for the right person to give JJ...
Wait, imagined injustices imagined. Imaginary problems. I'm glad...
I don't... Okay, all right. Point... goes to...
Already gave it to Ian.
Said he was close.
Oh, okay.
Point goes to that kid, JJ, on the show.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Are you ready for the next show, Mickey?
Nope.
Can you figure out this fall premiere debuting on ABC this fall? Designated Survivor. Should be interesting.
This is where people get really lost, and it's like having a designated driver, except, you know... somebody's trying to lead them around the island.
No. Crisco!
This is a sequel to the blockbuster smash hit Castaway, only this time Tom Hanks is able to call an Uber driver who just shows up with a boat and takes him home, and then, you know, he doesn't lose his wife and his house and everything else.
You may be close. You may
be a really happy story.
Depressing as hell. You're not talking. Mm. Ian.
I'm going to go with the story of the plumber that comes to Lazy McGee's house after Megacolon hits.
Well, that is correct! That's right! That is absolutely a show that's going to be on ABC. Now, the subplot, in parentheses after that, on the night of the State of the Union, an explosion claims the life of the president, the Megacolon,
okay, yeah.
And all the members of the cabinet, except the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Tom Kirkman, who has been named the designated survivor. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many people die, you gotta eventually pick somebody. Yeah. And that explosion, sorry about that, guys. It happens. You wait a week to go? All right. Point obviously goes to Ian on that one. All right, let's go. Chris, go. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for this? You've been waiting a whole year.
I have been.
Don't screw this up, okay?
I will.
The new show on ABC is going to be called Notorious. Can you figure out that fall premiere?
Notorious. Notorious. I got to think for a second here.
Oh, this should take a while.
Notorious is about the adventures of a high school senior in a small Midwestern town, single camera comedy, and...
Good choice.
And his battle with his inner demons, who are named No Antorious.
I appreciate the effort, but wrong.
Ah, crap.
Ian!
It is the show going through the day that Lazy McGee was arrested after the St. Paddy's Day parade.
Why are these all about him?
He's a very famous person. I figured that, you know, eventually I'm going to get one of these right.
Well, that's not me. That's Lazy E. This is Lazy McGee.
Weren't you there that night?
No comment. And Mickey!
I'm just going to go with about a rapper.
That was probably the best guess, but wrong. It follows the professional and personal relationship between a charismatic attorney and a powerhouse television producer as they attempt to control the media, the justice system, and ultimately, each other.
Wow.
Ooh. Ooh, not for kids, people. Okay, let's get on next show.
Wait, who got the point that round?
J.J. Abrams. Ian!
Lens flare.
Shut up. Ian! It's time to figure out the fall premieres. The show is called Conviction.
Well, I can tell you it's not the story of a freak accident. Conviction. Oh, jeez. Okay, Conviction is the story about... It's a story about nothing.
You are the worst. Have fun in the... I don't know, like I said, Saskatchewan or wherever you go.
Seinfeld already did that.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man. Well, good thing is, Mickey doesn't have much to live up to. Mickey!
It's about El Chapo.
And Crisco.
I was going to say it's about an alternate universe O.J. Simpson who actually did go down for the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson, and it's about his time spent in jail trying to begin a gambling ring.
He was completely innocent, as we all know.
Sure.
No, you are wrong. You are all wrong. All right. A brilliant young attorney who is also the daughter of a former president is blackmailed to head up to head up LA's new conviction integrity unit. She and her team investigate cases where people may have been wrongly convicted. Mm. Ooh. Point goes to El Chapo. All right. Well, this has been a rousing game, and this game is sponsored by Illinois Water. It sucks. Have fun, Ian. What? That's their tagline.
Illinois Water. Lead.
That's what's going to be in your head if you keep talking out of place. That is what's going to be in your head.
All right. Yeah. Sorry.
Crisco, you're going to start this one off.
All right, great.
All right, you'll know your order now. Figure out the fall premieres. The new show on ABC. The final show we're going to be saying today. It is American Housewife. How fun with that one?
Ooh, that one's about a Japanese man who is trying to get brought to the United States.
Wait, before you finish.
Wait, no.
American Housewife, it's about a Japanese man.
I'm getting there. Okay. It's about a Japanese man who has a secret program that can hack nuclear codes, and he's trying to get to the United States by way of becoming a mail order bride.
We would really like some new contestants on Figure Out the Fall Premieres. If you'd like to be a contestant, please, I'm urging you to email
figure dot out the fall dot premieres at fall. Mickey, you're going next.
This is Peggy Bundy's spinoff from Married with Children.
Okay, okay. Respectable. Did I say it's your turn?
Okay, I'm waiting.
It's your last time, and did I say it's your turn? Speak. Speak, dog, speak. Come on, Boo Boo. Did I say it was your turn?
No.
Why'd you say it like Scooby-Doo?
You said I was a dog.
No. Okay, Ian, your final time answering a question. Thank God. It's American Housewife. Figure out the fall premiere.
It is the story of a Russian gentleman who hires an American mail order bride.
Sure. Why not? No, it's actually the series chronicles the daily life of an average wife and mother who tries to stand out among the more attractive and better looking housewives and their privileged children in her home of Westport, Connecticut.
Why does she have to be average? Can't we have a show about somebody who's like above average and just has everything going for them?
Yeah, why don't we have one about above average people that know when to talk?
Don't
how
they
about that?
Already
Mickey,
have
Mickey, why aren't we doing this now?
To what? Annoy you.
No, no.
Yes.
You're gonna stop now.
Who's the winner?
Me, because it's over.
And that was another fun edition of Figure Out the Fall Premieres.
A freak accident, as entertaining as a car crash. That may seem morbid, but hey, people love car crashes. Why do you really think NASCAR is so popular?
To be wealthy enough to afford a multi-million dollar home, I don't even know what I'd put in a house that big. Like, I don't need that much stuff, but
I'd put in, like, a million refrigerators. Why not? Just eat up as much energy as possible.
Fill it all with filet mignon, just because you can.
One would have one drink, the other would have the other drink. It would just be one drink per refrigerator.
That works fine for me. But this is a list from Business Insider, the most expensive homes currently for sale in the United States. You ready to feel grossly inadequate?
Oh, yeah.
I do all the time. What makes this any different?
You sit there, you're like, oh man, I wonder if I could rent this apartment. You know, the rent's kind of high. And then you hear about some of these prices. Like, number five on this list is $135 million for this property. It is one of Beverly Hills' trophy estates. This 18,000-square-foot residence used to belong to comedian and philanthropist Danny Thomas. I'm sure he really was a philanthropist. That's why he had this giant $135 million home and didn't, like, you know, downsize to a $200,000 house and give all the rest of that money from the sale to poor people. He definitely was a philanthropist, no doubt.
Philanthropist?
I don't know what that was that just came out of my mouth. Don't ask questions.
It's a philanthropist.
Yeah.
I stumbled a little bit, but I recovered. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. So, yeah, how would you like to buy this house?
I can't.
Beyond sweeping views from downtown to the canyons and back, the real allure of this home lies in its interior details. Gold leaf moldings.
Why is that even necessary?
Hand-woven carpets.
Again?
And European refinements make it unlike any other.
Okay, I get that. I need my European refinements. If I'm not anything, I'm at least European refined.
Is it like Roman pillars? Is that what they're talking about?
All right, so to the people in this room who own a house, what would the mortgage payment on this be ballparked around?
I mean, for my credit?
Yeah. $135 million.
Yeah.
Well, I'd go into the bank and they'd tell me your payments are... right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's the thing. What would the mortgage be?
For 30 years? God, you're probably looking at like $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
At least.
That's insane.
That's terrible. Well,
I'll be lucky if I make...
No, even $1 million
30
a year.
No, 30 year, it's still going to be over... Well, it's not... It wouldn't be...
It's going to be a
it's
lot.
It's a lot. We're doing a lot of math here.
Millions of dollars per mortgage payment every year. Yeah, oh my God. All right, number four is Briar Patch, another stately resident on 11 acres, only 11 acres for this, and it's $140 million.
Only?
It borders the Georgia Pond in the Hamptons. It's a traditional home that offers the best of waterfront living with the charm of vast expanses of woodlands. The 10,000 square foot main house is on the National Register of Historic Places and features unique interior details like handmade wallpaper. It's suited to accommodate any number of guests.
Are you kidding me?
From a big event for hundreds of people to a cozy dinner for four. Oh yeah, cozy in your giant vaulted halls. I'm picturing that scene in Batman 1989 where Vicki Vale and Bruce Wayne are having dinner at opposite ends of that massive table. Oh, what a cozy dinner this is.
How you doing?
I'm just thinking about how wealthy you have to have a main house.
Yeah.
Yeah, our main house today. Tomorrow we're going to go to the secondary one.
That's just down the hill. It alone is 5,000 square feet.
Fun game I just want to play real quick. Can you read the details about this next house and we'll try to guess how much it is?
Okay, sure. The next house, number three on the list. Created by famous developer Mohammed Hadid,
father of models
Gigi and Bella.
Oh, I know him very well.
Yeah. The property's highlights include wine-producing vineyards, waterfalls, parking for 150 cars, gardens, tennis courts, views from the city to the ocean, security measures, and much more. Situated on 25 acres of precious Beverly Hills property, Palazzo d'Amore leaves out nothing in its incredible design and endless amenities. The 53,000 square foot main home includes 12 bedrooms, 23 bathrooms, and space for thousands of guests in a multitude of entertaining rooms.
So we have to guess how much this is. Well, first of all, I would never get it because it has a waterfall, and as we learned from TLC, you never go chasing waterfalls. I would guess it's around 150 million.
Okay, good guess, Ian.
I'm going to go 200 million.
I'm saying 165 million.
Oh, you just totally $1'd me. What the heck is that?
E was closest. It's 149 million.
Ha!
Actually seems like a bargain once we actually start talking about all the stuff it has.
Yeah, that one's actually the first one that's, I think, would be good enough for that.
Up next, located in the ritzy Holmby Hills neighborhood of Los Angeles, the home was built on speculation on the same lot where Barbra Streisand's Mon Rev estate once stood. The new structure covers a whopping 38,000 square feet and has 10 bedrooms and 20 full baths. Additional amenities include private hiking trails and a movie theater complex with its own guest valet entrance.
Oh man, you could charge people and pay for the house.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. So,
why do people need 20 bathrooms?
I don't know.
I never understood that.
There's 10 bedrooms.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you're figuring, what, one family is probably living in this house? One person probably is the owner? Do you just have your friends living with you all the time that you need all these freaking bedrooms?
That's the only way they can afford the house.
Maybe.
This one has to be 200 million. Has to be.
I don't know. I'm going to go 180.
I'm sticking with 165.
Mickey's closest, 150.
Ooh, I should have stuck with my original. Oh, man.
Now, you ready for this one? The most expensive home currently on the American market is a tropical compound on the prestigious barrier island of Manalapan, just south of Palm Beach in Florida. Boasting a whopping 62,873 square feet of living space.
What do you do with that?
The estate includes 33 bedrooms and 47 bathrooms. Enough to house a small army.
Again, with my mega colon, totally worth the price there.
Permanent residents and guests alike can enjoy every imaginable indoor and outdoor amenity, as well as thousands of feet of private beach on the Atlantic Ocean and intercoastal waterway.
You could clog a toilet for every day of the month without having to unclog one.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll have days left over, too.
And then have someone follow me around, and they can unclog them as I go. I'll never have a problem again. This is my dream home. This is my Barbie house.
Okay.
My Barbie dream house.
What would you pay for it?
I would pay... Oh, there isn't a price on that kind of luxury. But I'm going to say it is... I'm going to scale it back from the other one. 107... No, it said the most expensive, so... Ooh, 250 million.
Okay.
I'll say 180.
Is this Tiger Woods' old property?
I'm pretty sure he didn't have this much money at any point.
I'm going to say 180 million.
So you're going exactly the same as him?
Yeah, I already said that.
Right, the two of you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. All right, yeah, 181.
Shark! Mickey gets it. $195 million.
Yes! Oh, my God!
Screw you, Barb Barker.
Barb Barker. Yes, Barb. I heard that too. That's Bob's lovely wife.
Which one? You have to be more specific.
Yeah, good point. Dad, that was the most expensive one. $195 million for that little tropical paradise.
Little nugget. That isn't that bad for that kind of house. You know what I mean? That house. I'm saying it's a bad amount.
He just said that isn't that bad. The house alone is $250 million almost, and you're saying it's not that much money.
Chump change.
I couldn't afford a house $250,000.
Sorry to be you. Come on.
Work right. More hours, dude.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Mr. Big Shot, when you go out and get your big morning show job in Illinois, you can tell me about the large freaking mountainous home castle that you end up buying.
Yeah, WBGN. Listen to this hot guy talking right here. I just called him a hot guy. I'm embarrassed. Now,
let me ask you this question, though. If you had the means, would you still buy a house this big? Or would you just say, no, I would definitely still live in like a 4-bedroom and that'd be fine?
Absolutely. I wouldn't even live in a 4-bedroom. I got a 3 and that's still too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I mean, so even if you had the money, you wouldn't splooge on something like this.
I would get a big house, not that big, but simply because I want a place that I never want to leave. So I want at least, my dream is to have one of those theater rooms, but I'd put couches in it so I could watch like the wrestling pay-per-views on the big thing.
All right.
So that's the only reason I'd want a big house.
I mean, I'd have a nice house, but I would by no means need 60,000 square feet.
That's what I mean. It seems a bit excessive.
Yeah,
just a bit?
At some point, yeah. When you have to hire staff because you can't clean the thing yourself, you've kind of reached a little too far.
When people mistaken your house for a resort.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, like that last one. It actually looks like a resort.
Yeah.
But hey, if this podcast gets big enough, our studio's going to be
60,000 square feet.
Absolutely. We're going to have a studio on an island, mark my words.
Follow A Freak Accident on Twitter at A Freak Accident. Ah, crap. I forgot to say Simon Says.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And we're going to the movies on A Freak Accident right now. I saw a great movie the other night.
You would not. In fact, when I got this song, I was like, the main title of the new Star Trek movie is Sabotage. I had to go to Chris. I'm like, is this right?
Yeah,
I've seen it 50 places.
I wouldn't say it's the theme music. Like, everybody knows the Star Trek theme music. You know, But, I mean, this song played a vital part in the movie, actually. It was actually pretty spectacular what it was used for, too. I won't spoil it for you, but it was excellent. But Star Trek Beyond, it's actually been in theaters for a couple weeks.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, I was surprised to learn that it had come out. Because, granted, when I knew they were filming it, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a huge nerd and I love Star Trek. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'm definitely going to go see it when it comes out. But there was almost no hype behind this one at all.
There was hype, but the problem was we had so many blockbusters back to back to back. This hit the tail end of it.
Right.
So everybody, I think, was exhausted by this point.
It could be. I also think, like, because the reboot in 2009 was well received. I mean, you debate about whether or not it was a good Star Trek movie. People have done that. But it was a fun movie. It was an enjoyable movie-going experience. And I think after that movie, everybody was so excited to see, all right, we've got this great cast. The first movie was a lot of fun. Let's see where they take it from here. So there was that anticipation for the second one, on top of the fact that they were so secretive about what it was about. They kept saying that it wasn't Khan, you know, and they tried to keep people guessing. There was so much anticipation for it that, you know, I think that was why that one had so much noise around it, and it ended up not being that great. But I'll tell you what, this one, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
It was probably, in my opinion anyway, it was the best of the three newest movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And I think maybe part of the reason for that is that it felt like Star Trek. It didn't just feel like, somebody once I saw said online said that the 2009 one shouldn't have been called Star Trek. It should have been called like Space Adventure Movie, you know, starring people named after Star Trek characters. And it's like, but this one actually, it felt like Star Trek. It had the feel of a Star Trek movie, the vibe of a Star Trek movie. There was a lot of science in it. There was like a sense of adventure and the unknown. I mean, it captured that element. It felt like Star Trek. And on top of that, it was really entertaining. And I got to tell you, the action set pieces, where they were spectacular.
now you said it's a lot of science and everything like that. To the people that enjoyed the first movie,
you'll still love it.
Okay, it's not too science-y.
Oh, yeah, no. It's not like all, like, you know, all heavy, hard sci-fi.
It's not original Star Trek where a lot of people can get lost in that. It kind of does the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, you could go and you would still enjoy a spectacular space action movie.
Cool.
But there's also the elements of it. And plus, like, I think the cast really felt like they had time to breathe in this one. And the characters really felt like the characters. It didn't feel like they were rushing to get from one place to the next. It wasn't overstuffed. There were a lot of great individual character moments. Everybody had their time to shine, and it just, I don't know, it just felt great.
Except for one character. Didn't have time to breathe.
What do you thought? Oh.
Yep. Wow.
Because he's dead. How dare you?
Oh, no!
Yeah, she's talking about Anton Yelchin, who played Chekhov.
Oh. That one took a little while to sink in, but once it did.
Oh, that hurt. Mickey, you're supposed to be the good one.
I'll tell
Since
you.
Since when?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, there was also a nod in there to Leonard Nimoy having passed away. That plays a part in the story. It's like, oh, you know, that was kind of like, ooh. And then, like, seeing Anton Yelchin, too, because he played a pretty big part in this. I was like, ooh, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, it was a spectacular movie. I would say definitely the best of the three. It definitely does everything that it needs to do. It does everything well. It's an enjoyable experience. I'd rate it on a 0 to 5. I would give it probably a solid 4.5, actually. This was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. The villain was a little weak, but the rest of the movie was so well done that I think it definitely made up for it in spades.
Well, let's get done with the scrap movie. We're done talking about the little one. Let's talk about the main feature today.
No. Run away from the Sharknado.
Sharknado 4.
The Fourth Awakens.
Debuted on Sci-Fi this past weekend to fanfare, I assume.
This is like Maximum Overdrive. People love it because it's so bad, and there's a cult following now.
Yeah. The thing about the Sharknado movies, and this is one thing, like, this one was kind of just like, all right, it felt, of all of them, this one probably felt the weakest.
Well,
I think,
yeah,
because
we're getting on the fourth.
You got to figure how these are not good movies. I'm going on strictly like, did it make me laugh? Was it silly enough to be entertaining and everything else? This one, it just felt kind of like they literally threw everything at the wall to see what would stick in this one. They went all out. At one point. And I'll even say, at one point, the tornado was nuclear and the sharks were radioactive inside of the tornado.
Why?
Because why not? That's what these movies are. And this is the thing about these movies. The first one is still my favorite, and here's why. Because the first one, they were actually trying, like most sci-fi original movies, they were trying to make a serious movie about a ridiculous concept. But they actually took the subject matter seriously. The Sharknado wasn't, like, in the entire movie. It was just at the very end, and a lot of it was just, like, the sharks getting into, like, the city and the city flooding and everything else and people having to run from the sharks. It was a ridiculously bad movie, but they took the concept seriously enough that you're sitting there watching, like, oh, my God, they thought they were actually making a movie about a Sharknado. This is ridiculous. And that's what made it fun and cool and interesting.
Well, to break it down, they basically tried to make the movie good, and it was bad, and it got a great reception. The problem is, they tried to imitate.
Well, yeah, the problem after that, you know, because they tried to make a movie. They took the concept seriously in the first one, and it was just so bad that it was like just like your eyes were melting and your brain was exploding. The second one, I think, is where they started to deviate. They started to make it bad. They set out with the purpose of making it ridiculous and bad and insane. The third one, they tripled down on that concept. And now this one, like, the third one, for instance, they had sharks in space.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, the sharks got thrown up into the upper atmosphere.
Hey, yo, spoilers.
Seriously.
And in this one, I mean, it's the same kind of just, it's so absurd and ridiculous. It's like, okay, like this, it doesn't have the charm anymore. Yeah. It doesn't have the quaintness of the first one, which was like a movie they were trying to make serious And it was just so bad that it was laughably funny. And now it's like, okay, you're just trying to up the ante on how insane you can make it. And it's kind of like, okay, it's not charming anymore. It's just insane and ridiculous. You're literally just seeing, it's like you're taking a sniff of cocaine and you're like, what can we put in it now?
So rating this 0 to 5, would you give this a garbage?
I'm not even sure I could rate it on the traditional scale of 1 to 5 because it is a terrible movie. It's terribly acted. The special effects suck. The story's awful. I mean,
0 to -5.
All right, 0 to -5. See, it's the thing. I don't even know how I would rate this. It was just, it wasn't
negative.
Of the Sharknado movies, it wasn't the best. Not to mention, it had a non-ending. Oh. Like, it literally ended like somebody shows up and the guy's like, the one character, Nova, who wasn't in this movie, she's been in the last two, though. She shows up at the very end riding on the Eiffel Tower, and she lands, and he goes, Nova? And that's how it ends. It just goes to credits.
There's,
and I'm like,
fifth.
That's not an ending. Like, at least the first one ended like they're all standing in each other's arms looking out over destroyed Los Angeles that's been ruined by the Sharknado.
Yeah.
It's like this one is like, you're literally... This is like the last week's episode, you know, previously on Sharknado. Like, that's basically what you've turned it into. And it just wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't good. It's completely lost the charm and the quaintness of it. I mean, it was still like ridiculous. Like, oh my God, they're actually doing a nuclear tornado with radioactive sharks in it. But it's not, it's like, okay, I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to make this bad and insane. And it's just kind of not doing it for me anymore.
Ian, do you realize Crisco just used the word charm and quaintance?
Why can't I...
The word did he use?
Your grammar sucks so much.
Charm and lovability with Sharknado.
I did notice that.
It had charm. The first one did.
Charm.
I said there's charm in...
I have never had any particular desire to watch any of these movies.
It had charm in how... You know, you want to watch it, though, watch it with the riff tracks that go along with it. Because the first two I saw exclusively with the riff tracks. Third and fourth I actually watched on my own and made my own riff tracks while watching them. And that's the thing, like, you watch them just to comment on how ridiculous they are. But like I said, it's not even like entertainingly good anymore. It's just like, oh, okay, you're literally just seeing how insane you could get.
Yeah.
Whether or not it makes sense at all, oh, let's just to do because we can. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well.
I think the cultural phenomenon is dying off because there weren't that many cameos in it this time either from, like, celebrities. Vince Neil was in it for, like, 2 seconds. Seth Rollins showed up for, like, a minute, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll show up in the fifth one.
I don't want there to be a fifth
one. There's going to be a fifth one.
Well, there's going to be. That one is probably like, okay, I'm not going to watch this,
though. Don't.
Checking out.
Yeah.
Sci-fi, enough is enough. Come up with something else dumb that's just good because you actually think you're going to make a serious movie. Dog-a-saur or something like that. I don't even care. Mickey, tell the people where they have to go now that the episode's over and what they need to do.
You can find us at afreakaccident.com. If you see the menu bar, you can click connect, and you can find us on all of our social media pages.
Yes.
You can also send us an email to freaks@afreakaccident.com. You can send Ian his farewell letter.
Yeah, there you go. Say goodbye to Ian via email.
You could also do that on Facebook.
Yes.
You can find us on iTunes and leave us a good review, or you can find us on Google Play Music.
Yes, and make sure wherever you find us that you subscribe, so we'll be automatically delivered to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for downloading and listening this week. Next week on the show, we have Figure Out the Fall premieres, the NBC edition, and we're also going to have bizarre conspiracy theories about popular television shows.
This gets interesting.
Mm.
Very interesting.
It gets dark quick from what I heard.
Oh, I'll just, little spoiler, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, get ready for that one.
Oh boy.
It gets weird.
And Ian, you will not be here for it.
I will not.
Man, honestly though, best of luck to you. I look forward to seeing what you do out there. I wish you all success. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
No, thank you for inviting me on.
You've been vital to this show, so thank you for being here.
No problem, guys.
I'm gonna miss you. I really will.
Can we end it out? Mickey, say one thing nice about him.
Nope.
All right.
You are a terrible person.
I know I am.
For a freak accident. My name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Ian, I got you a present. It's an automatic door.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
No! Son of a bitch!
if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.